Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
I'm Rachel True.
And I'm Trent Venegas.
And you're listening to Quoting Gene Roddenberry,
the 100-day podcast that celebrates what would have been the 100th birthday of the man that created Star Trek.
Each day between now and the end of our podcast,
August 19th,
one of Star Trek's biggest icons,
or celebrity fans,
or both, will be quoting Gene Roddenberry.
Then we're going to take a deep dive into why we think this sci-fi legend still has a lot to say to the world.
Is read by Star Trek Discovery's own Sarah Middich.
What our most critical need in this earth of ours is a new level of reaching and understanding one another.
And it is our pleasure to welcome back film critic, entertainment journalist, and the biggest Star Trek fan I think I know, Scott Mance.
Thank you.
Welcome back.
Yay, we're back. So I got to tell you, first of all, I love Sarah Middich. I love Star Trek Discovery. I just love where this show is going.
Yes.
I cannot wait for season four. Like, can't get here soon enough. I love this quote. I just think that this quote is, I mean, I know, you know, like another quote we talked about with Gene, that he said in 1974, but don't you think that this is a quote that he could have said right now, here and now today?
Absolutely. For sure.
Which is inspiring and maddening all at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Agree. Absolutely agree. Now, you know, when I think of reaching and understanding, like when you look at the 60s, and we talked about this so many times, just in general, but just the tumult of the 60s, you know, between civil rights and Vietnam and you know, the Cold War and the counterculture and the generation gap, about reaching and understanding. And first of all, Gene Roddenberry's vision, his idealistic vision, his utopian vision, was never about, this is important, it was never about the perfection of humanity. Mm-hmm. It was about, and this is a key word, it was about the striving for the perfection of humanity.
Yes.
You know, we're, yeah, because it was never about assimilation.
Right.
When you're Borg, you want our individualities, though. Yep. No, seriously. And this quote actually says, what our most critical need, right, is a new level of reaching to understand each other. And I'm like, it does make me a little bittersweet that it's so relevant today.
All these
years later, from a 1974 quote. And I want to point out or mention that I'm so grateful that we did have a black character or an Asian character on Star Trek. The same way I was so grateful to be able to say to George Romero, thank you so much for having the hero, the protagonist, be black as opposed to the villain.
Night of the Living Dead. That's what she's talking about,
yeah.
FYI.
Yeah, sorry. I'm talking about Night of the Living Dead. But these were things that had main characters that were not white.
Mm-hmm.
That's the deal.
By the way, you know, when you look at, first of all, Rachel, you're absolutely 100% right. And when you look at, let's say, the original series, you know, in an episode like Court Martial, you have a Commodore of a starbase who is a black character. And he's in a position of authority, and it's just like, oh, you know, he's black. Like, like that's it, you know? Just like your navigator is Russian, or that your helmsman is Asian, or that your communications officer is an African woman. But the great thing about Gene's vision is that while we're, you know, he's talking about a level of reaching and understanding. And that means we have to learn how to do that. And over the last year, we are definitely at a point where we are, like you said, Rachel, still learning. We should have figured this out, but we are still learning.
And reaching, right, is an active word. Yep. Mm-hmm. It's active. And I think a lot of people this last year, maybe even people who are listening or people behind the scenes here, realized a lot of things, right? That it's not enough to be necessarily I'm not racist. You have to be actively anti-racist, which I've been saying since I was a small child. And every white person I know is like, you always said that, Rachel. And I'm like, I know. So I'm really glad that other people are catching on. Because I can't change any. My brown face knocks me out of changing a person's opinion. Mm-hmm. But your whiteness, although they could probably get you for either being Italian or a Jew, right? So somebody's going to find something to nail us for. But the point is, and Trent is very, we call him high yellow if he was black, but he's very light-skinned, like Spanish guy. Mm-hmm. But even Trent, you can tell there's a little bit of ethnicity there, and he might not be able to reach some people. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you have an Anglo face, you can reach. And we're asking our Anglo allies and our Asian allies, and we're asking our black people to do the same for our Asian brothers and sisters. It's not one or the other. Because one of my pet peeves is when people stick up for their own group, right? But never anyone else. Yeah.
Right. Now,
I'm like, I get it. We're going to start with ourselves. But let's reach out. Also, by the way, this quote, you know what it reminded me of, too? New reachings of understanding one another. For some reason, it made me think, this is a jump, but like, do you guys ever wonder how we have not conquered the oceans at all? Yeah. We know nothing about the oceans. And we're like, let's go to space.
When we have all this to explore here on Earth that we just don't.
We don't even have an underground water hotel. Yeah. And you're like, I'm going to put one on the moon.
Yeah, put one on. Let's go to Mars. Like, you know, there's still so much of the ocean that we have to explore. But I think when you're talking about, again, the word is reaching. Mm-hmm. The word is understanding. And that is something that came up in the third season when we find out about infinite diversity and infinite combinations in the third season of the original series. But also, you know, one of the great things about Star Trek across all of its platforms is that humanity, we see our heroes, we see them make mistakes, we see them maybe judge people the wrong way, and we see them learn from them. Now, what we as a society still have to do is also learn from them, which is why we're still having so much strife, even up to this very day. But when you look at an episode like, let's say, The Devil in the Dark from the original series, which is one of the best episodes ever produced of Star Trek. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have these miners who are being killed by a rock creature, and, you know, Kirk and Spock are going to, you know, we have to kill this thing because it's killing the miners and we need the mines. But then they learn and they understand that this creature, this Horta, is a mother protecting its young, and they go, wait a minute, we were wrong, and they learn from it. Mm-hmm. Or that in Metamorphosis, when the Kirk, Spock, and McCoy and Commissioner Hedford, a female ambassador who was like the Hillary Clinton of that episode, she has to go because she's dying of a disease, but they're stuck on a planet by this energy force that they don't understand, and they have to kill it and get off the planet. But then they learn that this energy force is a female in love with the man on the planet, and they learn from it. Mm-hmm. They learn. Mm-hmm. We are still learning. Like, there's a great line in that episode where McCoy says to Kirk, you're so used to being a warrior that you're also a diplomat.
Yep.
Why don't you try waving a carrot instead of a stick? Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful line. Mm-hmm. And that is just, you know, one of the great ways in why Gene's vision has endured, because it shows that they, our heroes, do learn. And
also, it's about our commonality, right? Like the episode you mentioned, it is about finding the common ground rather than buying some more guns and doubling down.
Yeah, totally. You know?
And the only way they're successful is by actively reaching out. Like, they made assumptions, and they very easily could have just, you know, dipped out, and they knew it. But they reached out to understand what was really going on, and aha moment.
The aha moment.
Is Clint Howard's character in the original series?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, Rachel.
Is he an analogy for humans?
Absolutely. Rachel, that is a great example. Now that episode, The Corbomite Maneuver, was actually the very first episode.
I knew the name of it. No. Yeah.
No, it's called The Corbomite Maneuver. Yes, Clint Howard is in the episode. And that was actually the very first episode of Star Trek that was ever filmed when it was sold as a series to NBC after the two pilots.
No way. Boy, and good trivia, people.
Hey,
right there.
Come on. Like
biggest
I said,
Star Trek fan I know.
No, hey, that's now, good.
Now, that episode was the equivalent of Star Trek's mission statement, because Kirk even says twice in the episode, the mission of the Enterprise is to seek out and contact alien life and to better learn from the whole experience. Mm-hmm. I'm paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. And so they're up against this giant spaceship that makes the Enterprise look like a little speck of dust. And then they realize that they're being tested for their humanity. Mm-hmm. By Clint Howard. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was 55 years ago.
Clint Howard was a child at the time. If you don't know the episode, yep. He was a child.
Yep. He was like 8 years old or something like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And bratty, which is why I said it's an analogy for us humans.
Yeah, totally, totally right. Yes, yes. But that's just the great thing about this quote, you know, reaching and understanding. And I mentioned that episode about the companion metamorphosis. Like Kirk is communicating with the companion to understand her motives. Mm-hmm. And at least I'm pretty sure it's a her, because it's a female voice. But again, it's communication, it's understanding and learning, you know, mm-hmm. reaching, understanding, and learning. And that
we had a previous quote where Gene talked about that the future might belong to our communicators. It might be science, but it also might be our communicators. And this also speaks to how important it is to have open lines of communication, to be willing to hear someone else's perspective, and to be able to synthesize the information that you get to better understand what someone else might feel about a certain situation. So we do hear these themes repeatedly in Gene's quotes, and that just shows how important the message is that he was trying to relay as many times as he could while he still could, and the legacy of Star Trek and all of the series who have come from his work after he has passed on continues to carry on that legacy and repeat these themes, because we haven't learned them yet. We haven't learned them yet. And
will we ever, though? Because part of me is like, it's human nature the way we are.
Well, I think we will learn more than we've learned up to this point, mm-hmm. but we will always continue to learn, because we will always be evolving and there will always be new challenges. Yeah. I mean, there's going to be challenges that we are not even thinking of. I mean, as an example, 2 years ago, did you think that we were going to be going through a global pandemic that lasted more than a year?
Nope.
Absolutely not. But did we all figure out a way to get through it? Did we all learn how to get through it and hopefully learn from it? Hopefully that answer is yes.
Scott, I have a question for you. Because we've talked about this on other episodes. Let's say the kiss, right? The kiss between Uhura.
The kiss. Da, da, da.
And, you know, it's great that they had it on there, right? It was was very different for the times on television.
For sure.
And yet, my question for you would be, what would you say to young people who, you know, are embracing hardcore cancel culture? And listen, part of me is like, fine, half y'all deserve to be goddamn canceled. Stay away. But when we look at an old episode like that, I have to parse it through. Well, as a kid, it confused me why it had to be forced. Even though there was sexual tension, there had to be forced to kiss her. And that's how they had to get it on TV. It couldn't be a kiss he just gave, right? But I can also filter it through the times, right?
Sure.
So I would never cancel that episode. I'm grateful for that episode. Any advice as a film critic you would give young people who are like, I want to cancel all this shit because it's not up to my standards?
Well, I think just in the general answer to that question, Rachel, because that is an excellent, excellent question and a loaded question, is that...
That's why I threw it to you, Scott.
Well, I'll say this, because I've had to look at certain films through the lens of today that were made at a time when certain things that are absolutely not acceptable now were accepted. And
right.
I think that as long as we learn why we're asking these questions about certain films, like definitely Gone with the Wind is like a great example of a film that, you know what, has not held up well. Mm-hmm. But do you cancel the movie? No, because you have a conversation about why it is not held up, and we learn why it is not held up.
And beyond that, take it to to the book, which I actually read the entire book of Gone with the Wind in high school.
Bless you.
Book report. I did. So, yeah, I think we have to look at these things through the prism of the time period it was in. Mm-hmm, and then it's a sticky wicket. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't trying to throw the most loaded question of the day to Scott, because obviously there's no easy answer for that one, right?
But really, the easiest answer that you can have is that if you cancel it, let's put it this way. If you cancel it because it hasn't held up or whatever, if you cancel something, then you make it disappear and you don't learn from mm-hmm. it. If you lean into the aspect of why you're thinking about canceling it, you have the conversation, then you can learn from it. And what you're doing today will definitely be much more appropriate.
I was trying to explain the controversies around Quentin Tarantino sometimes, right? And the N-word. And I know him and met him and da-da-da-da, and I'm from New York. But my 80-something-year-old stepmother said, I was explaining it to her, and I was telling her about Django Unchained, and she said, well, I mean, you really couldn't do a slave movie without that word, though, could you? Well, so that's her perspective, is, listen, you're going to erase that they dehumanized us and called us this word? Again, I'm not saying you have to agree with my 80-something-year-old stepmother, but to end with what Scott was saying, we don't want to erase that.
You can't erase it.
I just pointed out on Twitter that my textbook, and again, I'm Gen X age, but my New York textbook, sociology textbook, said that slaves liked slavery because we had housing. That's what happens when either white racist people write your textbooks or you try to erase things.
See, that's why. Yeah. Well, you answered your own question, Rachel. You cannot cancel because you're erasing a very important talking point that we could all be learning from and we should be learning from. And like we all talked about, we have to look at ourselves in the mirror over the last year and a half, especially never mind the 60s, which, of course, you know, is all part of the equation here. But like, what did we learn since the 60s? Mm-hmm. Well, maybe not a whole lot. So if we cancel certain things, then we're not going to really face them head on and learn from them now.
And canceling doesn't afford for the chance for someone to rehabilitate. That takes away their chance to learn from their mistake as well. And as we've hinted on or talked about, learning is a never-ending process. We're always going to continue learning.
Yeah,
and even
of life.
And even in this quote, there's a next level. There's always going to be a next level because learning will never end.
So as this quote says, to wrap it up, you guys, because it's our last day with Scott, keep reaching. Reaching is so active. Mm-hmm. And understanding is also active. It's not passive to understand. You've got to engage your brain, mm-hmm. right?
Absolutely.
So I love wrapping up on this simple yet deep quote. And we've touched on a whole bunch of different stuff. Trent, tell the people where to go to see the video.
Please visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to watch all these videos of our friends reading our quotes. And I want to thank Scott so much for being with us this week. It has been such a pleasure talking with you, getting to know you, and we have to talk Star Trek stuff off camera. So
yeah, you have to come back and talk, because you've been a delightful guest, Scott. Thank you so much.
Well,
Bye.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
And we hope you'll join us tomorrow for another episode of Quoting Gene Roddenberry.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Quoting Gene Roddenberry.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's quote. So tweet us, post us, DM us, whatever.
We're at Roddenberry on Twitter and Facebook, and at Roddenberry Official on Instagram.
Quoting Gene Roddenberry is a Roddenberry podcast hosted by me, Rachel True.
And me, Trent Venegas. Producing are Claire Kramer and Kelsey Goldberg, with executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Engineering and editing are provided by Elizabeth Joy Windham.
And special thanks to all those who were kind enough to read a quote and give a voice to Gene Roddenberry's everlasting words.
Live long and prosper.